As we get started, I want to revisit the scriptures you just heard from Carla. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for the fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and he said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Three times in this short passage, Jesus says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Now notice, he didn't show up and say, "Shame on you. I told you so. What are you doing here all locked up? Get up and get going." I think it's important to consider that Jesus chose these words to greet the disciples. The disciples' current situation was getting more stressful by the moment. We must consider that just a week before, they were on top of the world when Jesus rode into the town and hailed as a king. And then a few days later, the world was rocked when Jesus was arrested. They saw or heard or knew about the rigged trials by the Jewish leaders. They had heard and known that Judas had hung himself. And by now they knew all the gruesome details of the crucifixion. Their Lord was buried. And now for 2 days they sat locked behind closed doors, wondering if the Jewish leaders or the Romans were coming for them next. And then that third morning, the ladies claim that the tomb is empty and that Jesus is risen. Peter and John run to verify the empty tomb, but there was no sign of Jesus. Two more followers arrive and report to have seen Jesus. And I imagine that behind those locked doors, they were having some heated debates as they tried to answer some big questions. What do we do? Maybe this is a trick to lure us out by the Romans. They want us to think Jesus is alive, so we come out of hiding. Should we gather and rally and try to get the crowds riled up again? Should we try to lead a revolt? Or should we just hide and let things blow over? But now who's going to lead us? Will it be Peter? Will it be Andrew? Will it be John? You could say that they are stressed beyond stressed. The disciples were worried beyond worried, scared beyond scared, confused beyond confused. And what if Jesus had shown up and scolded them? How would that have helped their situation? Now think about situations that you have walked into. Even something simple as walking in the door from work to the chaos at home. Both spouses ready to blow off steam. And one says, "You wouldn't believe what happened at work today." And the other says, "Oh yeah? Well, it won't top the day that I had." Or as a parent, imagine you get a call from the principal while at work about a behavioral issue. And you have all afternoon to consider the rotten thing your kid did at school. What are your first words when you walk into the door at home and see that kid? I will bet you did not say, "Peace be with you." Unless peace was the name of the paddle, I don't think you said, "Peace be with you." How many situations have you been where somebody walks in and just starts attacking you out of the blue? That's not a good feeling, is it? Or think about a stressful situation where you've rushed into a hospital following an emergency of a loved one. You don't show up at the hospital and say, "Peace be with you." You come in full speed, all excited, full of questions and concerns. You want answers and you want them now, right? I know my army drill sergeants never showed up and said, peace be with you. That wasn't our normal wake-up call. Just imagine how you might change situations and maybe change people if you walked into situations and offered a peaceful greeting. I know I'm a high-demand, type-A personality that is often all business and ready to get to it. And too many times I miss the opportunities to change the dynamic of a situation. The phrase, peace be with you, it provides comfort, assurance, trust, confidence. It says, hi, I'm thinking of you and about how you feel. It says, I care. It says, relax, I got this. And as the scripture tells us, this phrase, peace be with you, has an even deeper meaning. At the Last Supper, Jesus said these words to his disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Jesus could have showed up and said, I told you so. I told you not to be afraid. Why are you locked behind the doors? But the peace that Jesus gives is not just the peace as we know it. Jesus said, it's my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. And isn't that what happens to us way too often? Don't we frequently allow things to trouble us? Don't we often fear things? Our job, our health, our family, the world, politics? There's no doubt I have this problem. The disciples had this very problem. Jesus knew that they would have this problem, and here he is warning them ahead of his death. He continues on that night of the Last Supper, and he says, you heard me say that I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. See, this is one of the reasons it's important to come back to God's Word every day, every day, every day. I think all too often we are like the disciples, and we need to hear Jesus say, peace be with you. We need to be reminded of his words so that when troubled times come, we will remember and believe. Today brings trouble, but we have the Holy Spirit for strength, and Jesus has final victory over Satan. And look at the things he continues to promise them in John 14 alone. First of all, one of the greatest promises that there is a place waiting for us in heaven. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. We have the promise of heaven when we die. But we also have a promise now that we can know the Father. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he says, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. If we know Jesus, we know the Father. The Father who is the Creator, the One, the Alpha, the Omega. We can know Him. Now, I've gotten to know many of you over the last few months. Some of you I just know. I mean, we talk and we say hi and we know each other. And some of you I'm starting to get a little closer to because we've been through things together. Weddings and funerals and other things that we've gotten to know each other. And I hope that as time goes on, we really get to know each other. Because isn't that the best kind of relationships? When you really know somebody. But when you really know somebody, it can be scary. Because people think if you know everything about me, you may not like me. But I know my wife. I know my kids, and despite my faults and despite their faults, that love is priceless. I tried an email experiment a month or so ago where I wanted us to get to know each other, to share stories, and it failed miserably. I had several people say, well, I was going to, but I didn't want to be the first, and I didn't. But you see, we need to be about building relationships with one another. There are a few tight circles here, but it's one or two circles here and one or two circles there. But outside of those circles, we don't know each other. I have people told me, I've been going to the church 10 years and I don't even know that person's name. And the problem with these circles is this: they are closed circles and everybody faces inward. Inward circles focus only on those in the circle. See, what we need to do is grow into one big circle that faces outward. Because when we face outward, we become welcoming. Because if you're a visitor in this church and you're not as outgoing as Andrea, you're not going to meet many friends. Because she'll go find you if she'll get your name. But you see, when we face outward in the circle, we become welcoming. And when we face outward, we know who has our back. And as we get to know each other better, that friendship and that love becomes priceless, especially when that love is based in Christ. God loved us enough to give us His Son. And our Father wants us to know Him through His Son, to really know Him, to have a deep and meaningful relationship. And when we really know the Father, when we truly begin to do His works, we have an even greater promise. Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for me anything in my name and I will do it." Jesus said we can even do greater things than what He did. That we can ask for anything in His name and we will do it. How's that possible? I ask for the winning lottery ticket every week and I don't get it. I go to the mailbox and there's no card saying, "Here you go." Because I tell God I can do great things with $500 million. I can feed and clothe homeless people, build water wells in Africa, donate to things that find cures. And I never seem to get the ticket. Probably because God knows I would also serve me. Because I would pay off the house, buy a motorcycle, travel. But our perspective changes when we ask for things that are within God's will. And when we ask for things in God's will, we can do great things. Because we have to remember His way is not our way. His definition of success is not our definition of success. His definition of wealth is not our definition of wealth. You see, Jesus healed people. Jesus performed miracles. Jesus pointed people to the Father. And the scripture says, I can do even greater things than Jesus. And before you think that's not possible, the disciples did, didn't they? The disciples did many great things through the power of the Holy Spirit. They healed people through the power. They shook jails through the power of prayer and the Holy Spirit. They endured great suffering and persevered to create a church that still stands today. Otherwise, we wouldn't call ourselves Christians. The disciples did great things. Why can't we? As Paul said, we are each given unique spiritual gifts, and not everyone gets the same one. But when everyone discovers their gifts, when everyone properly uses their gifts in the name of the Father, we can do great things. That's why we have to be one united circle. I have the gifts that God gave me, but my gifts are incomplete without your gifts. and your gifts and your gifts. When we add our gifts together and use them in the name of Jesus Christ, it's like adding superpowers together, and together we can do great things. And I think we've already done some great things that we don't even know we have done. Do you realize we have touched lives? That our prayer has brought healing? Our works have brought people to know the Father through Jesus. When we walk in His will, then we ask for changes. When we walk in His will, what we ask for changes. Our desire no longer becomes about what we want. Our will and our desire should be about what God wants. Our will and our desire should be solely focused to bring the peace of Christ, not just to ourselves, but to bring the peace of Christ to this world. So that these people, through our work, will see Jesus, and they too will become His disciples. And how do we accomplish this? How do we become peace-loving people? First, we need the Holy Spirit, and we can't do this on our own. But Jesus gave us that promise. He said, "All of this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." We have an advocate, a helper, one who will act on our behalf, our intercessor, our champion, our proponent, our backer, our counselor. We should not have troubled hearts, and we should not be afraid. We should have the peace of Christ. Each week we have the passing of the peace. And this is usually the highlight of the service for many people, because with the hugs, the greeting, the love that we share, it's powerful, it's refreshing, it's encouraging. Many churches actually have the tradition of actually saying, as they greet one another, "Peace be with you." Do you see where it comes from? What if you really meant it? Filled with the Holy Spirit, you said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Because as we pass the peace to one another, it is the same peace we receive from Jesus. And it should be the same peace we should be carrying into the world as we leave here. As the song says, if we want peace in the world, then guess what? Where does it start? Right? God did not call us into this world to argue politics. God did not call us into this world to create division. God called us to bring people to the peace and love of Jesus Christ. There are times when we'll be divided over an issue, because look at our denomination today. Should we stand up for what we believe in? Yes. But it's how we stand up for our principles that changes when we carry His peace and not bitterness. You can stand up for what you believe in, but you do it with peace and love and not bitterness. We should carry His peace and not hate or rage or anger. Because why would anyone want to be a Christian if we are hate-filled, bitter people that spend their time criticizing and finding faults in other people? Why would anyone want to be a Christian if we are just a bunch of complainers? Why would anyone want to be a Christian if we are gossiping about one another? Why would anyone want to be a Christian if we cannot forgive others with the same forgiveness that we have received? Why would anyone want to be a Christian if we're always worried about our problems? Why would anyone want to be a Christian if we're hiding behind closed doors? And before you say that, look behind you. There's some closed doors. And we keep Jesus here, and we're not out there. You know where Crossroads is today? They ain't in their church. They're out. They're serving. I'm not saying we have to give up Sunday worship, but I'm just saying we need to be a people that are beyond here, not locked behind the doors, singing in here and being silent out there. People will want to be Christians when we trust that Christ can handle our problems. People will want to be Christians when we are spreading love and not hate. People will want to be Christians when we have peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. You see, be is the key word. Peace be with you. This means it is active. It's not future tense. It's not past tense. The word means it's currently active in your life, a part of you, not just a single moment, but always present. Peace be with you. We could change thousands of lives if we simply learned to live by this phrase alone. Peace be with you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, so many times we are guilty of running on our power. We're guilty of being stressed and worried and anxiety over so many things. But Lord, you have promised us a new kind of peace, a different kind of peace, a peace that can only come from you. And Lord, when the world measures us, they're going to measure us by, do we follow what our teachings say? Are we a people of peace and love, or are we a people of anger and bitterness? Are we people who are condemning, or are we people who are forgiving? Lord, change our hearts. Lord, fill us with your peace. Your Holy Spirit abounds. All we need to do is open up, and our cup will run over. Lord, help us continue to grow. Help us to be spiritually one with you. Let us truly get to know you. Let us spend time in your word reading about you. Let us spend time singing songs about you. And let us spend time talking about you. Let us truly be your people. Let us truly allow you to be our Father so that we can have the peace and assurance that comes with our relationship through Jesus Christ. And because we know him, we also know you. Let us be a different kind of people as we leave here today. Let us leave with your peace. This we ask and pray through the power of your Holy Spirit and your Son, Jesus Christ, who sits at your right hand. Amen.